This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode 26 for Friday, September 15, 2017.
I'm riding
with my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. And this podcast is, as usual, brought to you by Rad Power Bikes. September 15th, huh? Where did the first half of September go? Well, first of all, we survived the hurricane. Although here in Miami, it was not much more than an inconvenience, really, an annoyance. No significant damage, not really anywhere, except for our trees. And the main annoyance for most people is the lack of electrical power. With temperatures in the high 90s, you know, we are used to having our AC. And also the lack of internet access. I'm actually back to having my notes on paper here, because the workflow that I usually use using Dropbox doesn't work, because we have very, very limited internet through our, the wireless. Sometimes we don't realize how much we have become dependent on this fragile internet infrastructure for nearly everything, really. I mean, we still have our weather radio, by the way, but it's still in the RV. And actually, the first thing I did once, you know, I cleared all the tree branches that were blocking my driveway. And once it was safe to do it, I reinstalled our over-the-air antenna on the roof so we could watch, you know, old-fashioned TV with old-fashioned over-the-air antenna. You know, see what was going on. And really, we haven't watched a regular TV for years, really, and it was a wake up call. You know, they have, you know, mostly everything the first day was about the hurricane, of course. All our local channels were like trying to get some aerial shots of the Keys and all that. But then there are some really stupid shows on the air. I mean, there was this show. There were these four women and a random dude. Of course, the four women were like one African-American woman, one Asian, a blonde and a brunette. You know, very, very, diverse, you know, for diversity's sake. But the jokes are like, who watches this stuff? People, I mean, it's like really, really, really idiotic comments about, you know, if the aliens came and saw us as a society watching that, they would probably obliterate us. I mean, it's really, I digress. Well, by the way, there's still no wired internet here in Miami, virtually anywhere, so we're resorting to the older technology, as I said, and the mobile networks are like limping away, you know, spotty at best. I guess a lot of the antennas are down. So a couple of days ago, I drove to Coral Gables and parked on a meter there. Of course, nobody's charging for the meters, but I parked there for 4 hours. In order to upload a video to YouTube, because here in the house it would have taken ages. And you know, it makes you relate a little bit with the people living a nomadic life, because a campground Wi-Fi is usually useless as well, so we are pretty much in those conditions. So I can relate to those issues that nomadic people who live on the road full-time RVers, that usually have trouble getting on the internet. But anyways, as I say, first world problems. The important things: we are healthy, we are safe, and things are slowly but surely getting back to normal. By the way, for those of you who are concerned about John and Kathy Huggins, they are well, they are safe, they are back in their home in Northport, Florida. Minimal damage to their home, and they are doing just fine, in good health. But you know who's not doing just fine? Those people in the Lower Keys. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the images, and you know that the Lower Keys, if you've seen my videos and my comments, you know that the Lower Keys have a very, very special place in my heart. I haven't really seen anything about the Sugarloaf KOA, which is one of the campgrounds that we like down there. You know, it's just 20 minutes away from Key West. But the big damage, that I saw on TV was the key right next to Sugarloaf, which is Cujo, which is where the landfall actually happened. And they probably got the worst of the storm. You know, if you've driven down to the Keys, there's this tethered blimp that you see in the lower Keys on the air to the right. That's a naval base, I guess. That's in Cujo Key. That's where that is. And I saw a lot of houses without their roofs, and there was a lot of flooding there. Of course, that's like just at the sea level, and the storm surge must have been tremendous down there. And all the Keys probably to the east of that. I wonder how Big Pine Key is doing. There's a bed and breakfast there called the Barnacle, where we stayed once, and I imagine that must have been pretty badly damaged. Although, even with these winds and these storm surges, if solid, you know, concrete buildings were well built, you know, a lot of them were built to withstand this. And that was the case also in Key West. Key West didn't get the worst of the storm because they had the western portion of the eye wall. So it wasn't as devastated as the Keys, probably east of Sugarloaf, all the way to the 7 Mile Bridge. I cannot imagine. I actually saw some pictures from Bahia Honda State Park, and I hope everybody evacuated there, because there were a bunch of fifth wheels, you know, not just little trailers, big fifth wheels just piled up, turned on their side like toys. I mean, very, very bad. There's gonna be a lot of damage down there in the Florida Keys. A lot of RVs that, you know, stayed there, ruined. Hopefully, the people got out. But the people in Key West, that they were, you know, you gotta understand this kind of people. They're proud, and that's like their island. And a lot of them stayed, and then, you know, and other than being cut off from the rest of the country, a lot of them were doing just fine. You know, they hunkered down in their buildings, and they were interviewing them on TV, and yeah, we went through it. It was bad, but all of them had a beer in their hands. So that's the kind of attitude that the people from the Keys have sometimes. And of course, this is not to be taken lightly. A lot of people lost everything. And there was a lot of damage in Key Largo as well that I've seen, and a lot of damage in the another picture that I saw, the Holiday Isle, you know, and now it's called the Postcard Inn, and it's one of those places that used to be like a pilgrimage place during holiday weekends for us, and we went down there to party, and then there was a couple of boats that sank in the marina, and you know, that's very sad. Also, I got a report. I heard a report from the people at the Theater of the Sea, which is right there in Isla Morada as well. And they said that all the animals were fine, and they had some structural damage, but you know, they will survive. Also, from Boyd's Campground, and I'm going all over the place here, up and down the Keys, but Boyd's Campground is located on is it on Boca Chica or the island before? You know, I think it's Boca Chica. It's right there, you know, almost walking distance to Key West proper. And what they posted on Facebook is that they have no major structural damage. You know, they just have to clean up. You know, a lot of trees have fallen all over the place, and people say that some of the, you know, there's a lot of trees in the Keys. Sometimes you don't see the ocean from the overseas highway because there are so many, you know, bushes and I guess mangroves. I don't know. They said that all these trees, it was like fall or winter rather. Now, all these trees had lost their leaves, and they looked brown, like burnt. And but you know, the trees will recuperate, and people will rebuild. And I think the Keys are going to be there for a while. And I'm really looking forward to going back, because, as I said, it is one of my favorite places, and it is one of those idyllic places that is really, really close to us here in South Florida. I mean, Key Largo is 1 hour drive. Key West without traffic is 3 hours, and we're right there by Key West, even towing the RV, because the speed limit is usually low on the overseas highway. And maybe they will rebuild it, some part of the parts of the highway that got washed out, and it might be an even better highway in the future. And I'm really looking forward to going there. Actually, I had plans to go to Key West this weekend. Believe it or not, of course, that's not going to happen. But I wanted to go to Key West and also go to the Dry Tortugas National Park, which is the one place that I'm missing from that Key West comprehensive video that I'm going to do at some point in my channel. And yeah, by the way, the Keys and Florida are not the only places that got damaged. I hope you have seen those islands, Barbuda and, you know, the Leeward Islands that where it hit St. Martin. Those islands got obliterated. I mean, they got the full force of the wind, and the construction sometimes in those places is not up to the standards, you know, like, for example, San Juan, Puerto Rico, they got spared the brunt of the storm, but they didn't get that obliterating damage. Also, the north of Cuba, the hurricane didn't make landfall in Cuba proper, but all those keys in the north of Cuba, luckily very few people live there and probably everybody evacuated. And it's usually just resorts, hotels, you know, all-inclusive hotels that they have on those keys. And from what I can tell, only a couple of them survived and with a lot of damage. So the tourist industry in Cuba is going to be very, very affected this coming winter for sure. And actually, a friend of mine, he's a distant cousin of mine, Titico, he posted a couple of pictures on Facebook about my neighborhood, you know, the street where I grew up. As many of you know, I lived in Havana, Cuba, until I was 16 years old. And I'm going to put some of those pictures in the show notes for this episode that I didn't ask him permission because I couldn't, but I'm sure he wouldn't mind. So pictures courtesy of my cousin Titico in Havana. And the show notes for this episode, of course, they are at travelingrobert.com/podcast/ and what's the number of this episode? 26 slash. So travelingrobert.com/podcast/0026. And also, if you're in your podcasters, but in iTunes, sometimes the pictures don't show up and things don't show up properly. So make sure to check it out on that website. We are also, of course, being rebroadcasted or syndicated by Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and I wanted to remind you that 24/7, 365 days a year, Reno Viola Outdoors Radio for your, you know, if you're into fishing, hunting, boating, or anything, the rest of the great outdoors. Go visit them at wrvoradio.com, or you can also download the app. And of course, our podcast is, of course, also on the YouTube channel, sponsored by Rad Power Bikes, you know, the electric bike manufacturer, and they're offering direct-to-consumer pricing on their powerful electric bikes to you guys. So visit www.radpowerbikes.com, or rather, click on the link in the show notes, and they'll know that I sent you, or call 1-800-939-0310 to learn more about their models. And they're offering free shipping on all four models, and I would really love to get my hands on one of these. There's actually one that is meant for two people, so me and my wife could just be riding along on our next trip to the Florida Keys. By the way, all over Florida, it's not just the Keys, all over Florida, I mean, and the recovery effort has taken a long time. There's a lot of people still without power here in Miami and all over Florida, because this is the first time, I think, in recorded history, in memory, that a hurricane affects the whole entire state of Florida. And not to mention, you know, Georgia, they lost power to my family in Atlanta. They're fine, but they had torrential rain and they lost power. But the entire state got affected at some point, except maybe some parts of the East Coast that didn't get that affected. But the hurricane took a weird turn, and I didn't notice this until after, because during the hurricane, I lost the internet and I lost my ability to track it. But the hurricane came in through Naples. So Naples and Marco Island, I haven't seen many pictures, but I imagine the damages are extensive. But then it went inland. And the eye, even though the eye had already collapsed a little bit, it went through Arcadia. And you know what's very close to Arcadia? The Thousand Trails. What's it called? The Peace River Thousand Trails, a place that I have stayed A place also that John and Kathy Huggins stayed there several times. And there is a very nice campground in Central Florida. It's a sparsely populated part of Central Florida. And they have a river going around the campground. And it is a campground that normally during the rainy season, it gets so an area of the campground, the one without full hookups, it gets flooded. Well, it really got flooded this time. And they posted a video on Facebook, the owners or the managers, the administration of the campground, that they were walking inside the store and the water was up to their waist. So that campground got entirely flooded, and they said that, you know, they had some RVs in storage there, and they couldn't salvage all of them. Some of them wouldn't start, or, you know, they couldn't take them all to high ground. And yeah, there's a that's a big one right there, the flooding. And talking about the flooding, and let me clear up a misconception here about hurricanes and about Miami, because a lot of people on social media were alarmed, like, you have to get out of there, evacuate, you are unsafe, you're an idiot. And not really. I mean, Miami gets flooded, but not all of Miami gets flooded. You probably saw those pictures of the financial district in downtown. Yeah, it got a little flooded, you know, 2 or 3 feet. It wasn't like catastrophic flooding. And that's an area, that's downtown, that's solidly built. It's not like the water is going to wash away any houses. But then there are some areas. And I said it on the previous episode, and the previous episode, we still hadn't had a hurricane. I said it on some of my YouTube live videos and on the YouTube video that I did covering the hurricane. And I'm going to put a link to that too. That, you know, those areas of Miami that we stole from the Everglades way back when, you know, the environmentalists hadn't taken charge yet. The Everglades wants those areas back in a way. So whenever we get torrential rain or an event like this, those areas get flooded and they become a swamp again, like they were before, you know, civilization got there. So there's a large area in southwest Miami that is prone to flooding, and it did get a little flooded there. And the coastal areas, of course, you have that 2, 3, 4 feet storm surge that is going to come in, and and yeah, it's going to get flooded. But the area where I live is never going to flood. This is a solid ground. It's like a little hill, if you could call it a hill here in South Florida. Yeah. And by the way, the hurricane we didn't go through here. We had very strong tropical storm gusts and maybe category 1 gusts of wind, but it wasn't that steady 100 mile an hour wind, 100 plus. That you get near the eye wall, you know, those, this was a huge hurricane. Of course, everybody got affected, but the area that really got affected is that area that ring around the eye. And in this case, the eye was very big. So it was a big ring, but it's like what, 30, 40, 50 miles, maybe. Yeah. Around the eye it could have been bad. 2 days before, we thought that we were going to get a direct hit, and that would have been catastrophic. If we get a direct hit in Miami has never, like downtown, has never been hit by a category 3 or 4 hurricane. Hurricane Andrew did not go through downtown. Hurricane Andrew came in, 20 miles, 30 miles south of downtown Miami. And that was total devastation down there. Of course, the building code wasn't as strong in 1992 as it is today. But at no point we were really unsafe in this house here. We would have experienced some extensive damage, but the house wasn't going to get blown away by even a Category 3 hurricane. At least not entirely. We have a safe room in the laundry room for like worst case scenario. I was very, very much afraid about my travel trailer parked outside. It actually fared really, really well. And Actually, it looks cleaner than it's ever looked in a while, because it was like a pressure cleaner for 3 or 4 hours, you know, going all around it. But you know, and as I said, we didn't get any damage in the house except for my big poinsettia tree that lost a couple of branches. And today I wanted to talk about one RV destination, as I usually do. But I think I've rambled enough about the hurricane and all that, so I may leave it for next week. I was going to go talk about Red Coconut RV Park, which is actually in one of the most affected areas in Fort Myers Beach, you know, it's Estero Island. And you know what? We have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to tell you about our experiences in Red Coconut RV Resort. Red Coconut RV Park, it's really what it's called. And as I'm going in order, I told you about our maiden voyage a couple of episodes back. Then I told you about our experience at the Peace River Thousand Trails, where I told you the big flood happened. And on our third trip, we wanted to go someplace, you know, different, beach maybe. And I this guy that I've known for many years, Roberto Gomez, is a musician, and he's the leader of the band where I've played for many years. He always told me, if you ever get your own RV, you have to go to this place in Fort Myers called Red Coconut. You park right on the sand and it's beautiful. So on our maiden voyage, we passed by there and we talked to the office. And when's the next oceanfront vacancy do you have? And the guy said, well, I don't have an oceanfront vacancy, but I have site 18, which is almost oceanfront. You know, the oceanfront sites, I don't even know if they are full hookups because your RV is parked right on the sand. But there are many other rows. And there's this row that goes perpendicular to the ocean. And we got the most oceanfront, the site closest to the sand on that row. And we had this beautiful view of the beach right there. The only downside is that that site is right by the path that everybody else in the RV park takes to go to the beach, you know, the inland sites. But you know, I would just waved hello to everybody. We were there, you know, chilling. Our brand new RV, life was good. We got to see some of the most amazing sunsets. We were there just two nights, so we got to see two amazing sunsets. And then we would walk on the beach and the sunrise, and you see all the little birds, you know, waking up one by one. Like the pelicans are first, you see them, you know, flying really low, like really close to the water, fishing. And then all the other birds start waking up. It's a beautiful, a very relaxing experience. And this RV park is located about a mile away, a little more than a mile away from downtown Fort Myers Beach. They call it Times Square. And you know, they have a pier, and every night at sunset they do like a celebration, you know, like the one that they do in Key West, or Clearwater does something similar too. And then they have a band, and you know, it's a nice fun times. And right next to the RV park, there's also this restaurant that we liked. It's called the Junkanoo, I think. And they had very, very good fried fish and drinks. And it was overall a good time. You know, it's a beach RV park, so we stayed at the beach. Even though this was in probably in mid-October, the weather wasn't the perfect beach weather in South Florida. The water wasn't as warm anymore. I mean, it was warm, but anywhere else's standards. But by South Florida or Caribbean standards, it was a little chilly already, and it wasn't as clear as I was expecting it to be for it being the Gulf. But yeah, very nice, very good times. And on this trip, I actually came up with an innovation for my videos, and I stuck a camera, and you know, the GoPro, I put it on the roof of the trailer, and that gives you a very, very unique perspective, because you see the car down there and it's very up high. So that's been a staple in all my videos ever since that trip. And of course, we you know, explored the area. There's the Matanzas Inlet on the other side, and there's also this very nice RV resort called the San Carlos. Very nice. There's Sanibel Island right there, and we definitely don't get out enough. And we should explore this area a lot more, especially when they recuperate from the hurricane, we'll go back. I think I've rambled enough for today. I am going to leave you with a song dedicated to those brave folks in Key West and everywhere in the Lower Keys, one of my favorite areas. By the way, here in Miami, we're fine. We're gonna be okay, and things are slowly getting back to normal. And the only problems or even fatalities that we've had had been like aftermath accidents, like people with generators indoors. Do not ever run a generator indoors, guys. Very, very bad idea. And some like elderly folks in an assisted living facility. Was it a nursing home that died due to extreme heat because there was no air conditioning? Okay, this is a fragment of my song titled Key West, Cayo Hueso. Until next week, thank you so much for listening and see you on the road. Cayo Hueso, Key West, Cayo Hueso, Key West.